Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're glad that you can be with us today. If you're not a Christian up front, before you change that channel, you've been listening to Christian music if you have been tuned in to WMAF. And now it's time to find in the Word of God the reason for all of these songs of faith and hope and joy and peace. Hallelujah. You can come to know Him today. He already knows you, and He cares about you enough that He gave His Son to die in your behalf on the cross. So we want you to stay tuned and join with us in this Bible study. You don't have to be a Christian, and you don't have to be afraid, amen, to go to God's Word and find out the true reason for the season. If you haven't noticed, I'm sure you have. Everything is now geared toward Christmas. And in the material world, it's the biggest day of sale in all of the year. The second biggest is Halloween, and we just passed that. Now Christmas is coming, and the big push to sell items to consumers is on, and the Christmas rush has already begun. And I love this season because I know the real reason for the season. Praise God. And we're going to be talking about the message of Christmas and how it should affect every one of us on this planet. Praise God. What a message it is. I know that there's a few weeks until that event, but it's going to go very, very quickly. And it just seems that the Christmas message and the message that God has laid on my heart kind of intermingle. They mesh, or as they say, there's a synergy here between the Christmas message and the message that we so desperately need as Christians. And if you're not a Christian, as I said before, please join with us in this Bible study. Praise God. We're going to be talking about forcing fear to flee. We're going to be talking about conquering fear. And that is one of the great and mighty enemies of all mankind. And we want to get down to the root of this matter and see how to live in a victory and an experience of peace, even in such an uncertain world where so many things are troubling people. In fact, the Bible said, as the tribulation approaches, the time of the great tribulation, that men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming. These are not unfounded fears. These are not mere phobias. These are legitimate concerns as they see the things that are coming upon the earth. We're living in a generation that fear is gripping even the very, very young. And we just want to teach a message today from the Word of God and declare that through Jesus Christ, fear can be conquered. Praise God. Because we can come into a relationship with God, that we can trust Him with our family, with our lives, with our future, with everything. And there's a great need for this message. And we got as one man put it, I have a great need for Jesus, and I have a great Jesus for my need. Hallelujah. So don't turn the dial today. I'm just going to read a scripture about how the enemy looks at our great champion and Savior out of James chapter 2 and verse 19. Amen. Listen to it carefully. We're going straight to the message today for time's sake. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils also believe and tremble. This word tremble in the Greek means to bristle or to chill or to shudder. It's used only one time, this particular Greek word, and it's on this particular occasion. And it is the most powerful word in that language to describe fear and its consequences. I like the amplification of this. It says, so do demons believe and shudder in terror and horror, such as make a man's hair to stand on end and contract the surface of his skin. Listen very carefully. When fear goes, when fear is conquered, all Satan's forces have to flee. Amen. When David slayed Goliath, the Philistine army ran in panic. And you know what the Bible said in the New Testament? It said that if we would submit to God, in the book of James as well, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Literally, that word flee means to run as in panic. It's this fear, not of you per se or me per se, but of the God who defends us, the God who protects us, the God who abides within us, the mighty Jesus of Nazareth who stands with us in every single battle. Praise God. Let me make a statement on the onset of this study. There are two potentially fatal mistakes that we can make in assessing our adversary, the devil. One is to underestimate his cunning and his commitment to deceive and destroy. The other is to overestimate his power and live an entire lifetime in fear, always terrified of what Satan might do. This debilitating fear must be countered and counteracted and conquered, and in the name of Jesus today, through the Word of God as our witness, it can be. Praise God. Listen to how the Christmas message is so important for everyone who is a Christian, and how if you're not a Christian, that message, if you receive Jesus as your Savior, can be applied to your own personal life and your future. Ask most people what the most repeated phrase in scriptures is, and many, I suspect, particularly those who were raised with the notion of an angry, vengeful God out to get us, would assume it to be some kind of stern or demanding admonition. You better shape up, repent, live more faithfully, behave yourself. And by the way, we need to shape up, repent, and live more faithfully. Pray diligently, love God more, and love one another, or else. But the most common admonition in Scripture is not one intended to strike fear in our hearts, but the very opposite. Indeed, this much repeated message has to do with the letting go of our fears. Fears that inhibit us. Fears that hinder our relationship with God and with one another. Fears that keep us from walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Is it any wonder that the most frequent call in all Scripture is the statement, "Have no fear, fear not, be not afraid"? Now, we have every reason to fear if we're not right with God, if we haven't accepted Christ as our Savior. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God when God has no alternative but to judge us for our sins. It's a fearful, fearful, forbidding thought. But if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm telling you, amen, His message to you and me is fear not. And I'm going to tell you, if we fear the Lord, as the Bible declares and decrees, we don't have to fear anyone or anything. If we fear the Lord. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it's not the dread of God. That word fear in the Hebrew simply means to reverence, deep reverence with awe and affection. We love this God that has given His Son and through His Son Himself for us. We love Him. And we want to be in His presence. We don't run from Him. We run to Him. Even when we sin, we don't run from Him. When we stumble, we don't run from Him. We run to Him. Because we know that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Oh, friend of mine, today, the message of Christmas and the message to Christians and the message to you today, if you don't know the Lord, is that if you will come to know Him, if you will come to know Him as your Savior, amen, then all of the fears that grip our life and strangle all the peace and joy out of us, that fear is going to have to flee. In the birth narratives found in Luke's gospel, it's a dominant message of the angels appearing to the priest Zechariah while he's serving in the inner sanctum of the temple in Jerusalem. The angel Gabriel bringing word that Zechariah and Elizabeth will give birth to a son, John the Baptist, begins with the statement, "Do not be afraid." In like manner, Gabriel appears to Mary, bringing the news that Mary shall conceive and bear Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. After the startling words from this heavenly Holy One, he says that you are greatly favored of God, the Lord is with you, and he continues, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And the angel who appears to the shepherds in the hills surrounding Bethlehem on the night of Jesus' birth announces, "Don't be afraid, for see, I'm bringing good news of great joy to all people." A message that's followed by a multitude of the heavenly hosts singing of peace on earth and goodwill toward mankind and all humanity. Praise God. Amen. The first reason that we need not fear if we've accepted Christ as our Savior in particular is in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. It's because God is with us. We didn't initially seek Him. He came seeking us. And that is the purpose of this baby being born in this manger in Bethlehem. Matthew 1 and verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted as God with us. Hallelujah. Ah, friend, isn't it comforting to know today that God loved the world enough to give His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life? Jesus came to be born in a manger that He might grow up to manhood and go to the cross, that He might suffer and die in our behalf. And God came seeking us. You know, every world religion, other than Christianity without exception, it is always man trying to find his way to God. Ah, but in Christianity, amen, God takes the initiative. It is God coming down into our fallen world, taking on flesh, came to seek and to save that which was lost. It is God coming down to us. And that's the message of Christmas. And that is the message that is so absolutely designed to cause all of our fears to melt away and peace to reign. Peace on earth doesn't mean that we won't have the wars and we won't have the problems. It means that everyone that receives Christ can know a peace in the midst of the tumult. Know a peace in the midst of all of the dangers and uncertainties of life. Ah, that we can experience this great peace of knowing that our God is with us. I love the old statement in the scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. It said, "It and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Praise God. Jesus said it, didn't He? In the New Testament, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will go with you all of the way." Amen. Emmanuel means that God has come into our fallen world, into our human experience. Praise God. And you know, that we can have a bold faith because He knows what we sense, what we feel, what we face in this fallen world. He doesn't sit aloof in His heaven, so far detached, just telling us to get our act together. He comes with compassion. He comes with mercy. He comes with love. He comes with pardon. He comes with power. He comes with forgiveness. He came to set the captive free. Hallelujah. And because He is with us, it's in the emphatic in the Greek, "I will never," no, never, as it would read, "forsake you. I will never, no, never leave you." No, there was a newspaper that held a contest to answer the question, what is true friendship? And I love the winning answer, because the winning answer was this: someone who is walking in when everyone else is walking out. Some of you listening to this broadcast today, you may have really messed up bad, and everybody in your life is walking out on you. But there is a friend. There is a friend, the Bible says, that sticketh closer than a brother. And there's no reference to Jesus in the sense of a Bible study that would point directly to Christ. But everyone that hears that scripture, almost without exception, applies it particularly to Jesus because of His promise, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Don't be afraid. It wasn't just the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead, that death had been conquered, but His personal promise to those early trembling disciples that were so afraid of what their stand for Christ would cause to befall of them, that someone would kill them, torture them to death. And He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And here's what emboldened, cowardly, cowering disciples and apostles to become the great men of God. Amen. Listen to it carefully. Go into all the world, He told them, after the resurrection, and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you always. Praise God. I'm going to be with you. My personal presence is promised to you. And that caused them to become bold martyrs, many of them, most of them, for the cause of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I like Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and verse 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, here it is, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, this is where fear has to leave. Fear has to bow to faith. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is with us, friend, by virtue of the fact that God is in us. Colossians, if you're a Christian, chapter 1 and verse 27 bears out this great truth. Listen to it. It said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. The Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of His Son, is in us to seal us until the day of redemption, to guide us, to comfort us, to teach and empower us. Next time you're in an airport, notice the difference between the passengers who have confirmed tickets and those on standby. Those who have confirmed tickets are relaxed. They're confident and expectant. Those on standby hang around the ticket counter. They pace back and forth and pace back and forth and pace a little more, all because of uncertainty. God offers us freedom from the burden of uncertainty so that we can know for sure where we stand with God. That's where fear is defeated, is knowing where you stand with God. Someone said it very, very truthful. Fear God and you need fear nothing and no one else. Praise God. I like 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 because it talks about know so faith, and it's all about knowing where you stand with God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. That you may know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son, the Scriptures declare, has life. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, doubt goes and fear falls, because God promises on the basis of your faith in the finished work of Jesus, when you call upon Him and you truly repent of your sin to save your soul. Praise God. And the fear of the judgment to come, the fear of living in this fallen world without the help and hope that God can give, that fear has to flee. That fear has to go. Praise God. His message over and over again, repeated both old and new covenant to the people that look to Him and trust in Him, is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Till you come to Christ, there's every reason to fear. But once you come to Christ, there is absolutely no reason to fear. Praise God. And when fear goes, every device of the enemy to cause us to pull back and to go back and to not go forward in our faith, every device of the enemy is conquered when fear is conquered. God is in us. It's the down payment on heaven. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you can qualify through the blood of Jesus Christ and the cleansing power that it has, for Jesus to come and live within you, for God the Father to live within you, for God the Spirit to live within you, the three holiest persons of heaven can now live within your spirit, can come, as the Bible said, make their abode in you. Praise God. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not unto the world? Every time they went out in public, people came in crowds pressing upon Jesus to be healed, to be helped. How are you going to be so intimate and personal with us? And Jesus said, if any man love me and my Father and keep the commandments, our commandments, not just the law, but the command to be saved, the command to come to Christ, the command of God to come to Him and experience that forgiveness through the Son of God. If any man do that, I and my Father will come to him and we will make our abode with him. Praise God. He spoke of the Holy Spirit in the same vein. He said, when He, the Comforter, is come, He will be with you. He will be in you, and He will abide with you forever. God is with us, and God is in us. Hallelujah. And that's the hope of glory. It's the down payment on heaven. Because if what makes heaven holy can live within you, amen, then there's no doubt that you can live in heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is not only with us and in us. He is for us. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says, what shall we then say to these things if God be for us? Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I like Psalm 56 and verse 9. When I cry unto the Lord, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Praise God. Oh, friend, when you come to Jesus as your Savior, that enmity is broken down between you and God. Amen. You're reconciled unto Him. His wrath is propitiated. His anger is propitiated. For He's judged your sin in Christ when you receive Him as your Savior. All of the benefits and blessings of what Jesus did at Calvary become yours. Hallelujah. And God sees you as a friend and not an enemy. And you see God as a Father and not someone that you have to dread, amen, to stand before. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, tells of driving through a small southern town and being stopped by a policeman and being charged with speeding. Graham admitted his guilt, but he was told by the officer he would have to appear in court. He appeared in court. They went directly to the courthouse. The judge asked, guilty or not guilty? When Graham pleaded guilty, the judge replied, that'll be $10. This was back a long, long time ago. You can tell by the amount. $1 for every mile you went over the limit. Suddenly, The judge recognized the famous minister. "You have violated the law," he said. "The fine must be paid, but I'm going to pay it for you." The judge took a $10 bill from his own wallet, attached it to the ticket, and then took Billy Graham out and bought him a steak dinner. Amen. And Billy Graham used that illustration in his sermon to explain God's grace. That's how God treats us as repentant sinners. He paid for our sins with His Son, and now we get to dine with Him in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And before that great day, He said, "If any man open the door," in the book of Revelation, "the door of your heart, and receive Him, I will come in and sup with him, and him with me." God is with us, Emmanuel. God is for us. Praise God. And God, Jesus Christ, is living within us. Isaiah 54 and verse 17 is such a powerful scripture. Amen. Even in the Old Covenant, God was with them. As long as they were with Him, He was with them. And Isaiah 54, 17 said, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. In other words, God is the one that's forgiven them. God is the one, amen, that has pronounced them righteous, and their enemies could not accuse them and condemn them. In fact, He said, every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn, because your righteousness is of me, saith God. When you get right with God, amen, God will take your part. He takes His stand in your behalf. Jesus, in fact, becomes the advocate with the Father. He stands and pleads His own blood and His own body that was broken and poured out for you in the presence of God. And God honors the death of His Son in your behalf. Ah, friend, you don't have to cower in fear. You don't have to run from God. You need to run to Him today and experience the great result of your sins forgiven. That's peace with God. And because of peace with God, the peace of God can now reign in your heart and reign in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite you to do something that tens of thousands of people all over the world have done and are still doing today. I'm going to ask you, right where you are, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. If you don't, the Bible speaks of you as being without God and without hope in this present world. And the great message this Christmas season is that God has come because He doesn't want you to ever feel God forsaken and helpless and hopeless. Ah, He wants to keep a promise He makes to every believer, every child of God. I will never leave you. No, never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you through the trials, the tests, the heartaches, the heartbreaks. When all the challenges of life befall you, I'll be there to uphold you. Ah, friend, come to Jesus today. Let Him give you peace on this earth. Let Him show His goodness. And today, if you're a Christian, it's time to realize and turn the tables on the devil. He believes and trembles. And when God stands between you and his violent attacks, you have nothing to fear. Ah, God is so gracious today. Put your trust in Jesus and let this Christmas truly be a time of peace in your heart and in your life. Well, we love you. We pray that you'll come back next week. And let's talk about Jesus.